That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel's
gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Get the buttons pushed here and we welcome you this morning. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
What day is it today?
It is September 20th, 2014.
And so, good morning.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. The sun is coming up. Boy, the days are getting a little shorter. The sun is just now coming up over the mountain range east of Laramie. And that's where we're coming to you live this morning, just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. And we've got our coffee, and we've got our Bibles, and that's the program, Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And so we'll open up the phone lines here in a minute, but we'll open up with prayer first. Jason, would you open us up in prayer this morning?
Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we're grateful to be here this morning. We just ask, Father, for your blessing upon this program, upon us throughout the rest of this weekend, and we pray that you look out after our families, our loved ones, that you continue to guide us and direct us in all that we do. Bless our hands and the labors that we do. We come before you and we pray on the full armor of God, having done everything to stand firm, and we gird our loins with truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We put on the helmet of salvation, pick up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we pray and petition for the saints. We pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Grant to us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. We pray that you deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the forces that come against us. We pray that you guide us and direct us in all that we do. And we pray for the... Oh, Father, we just ask that you lift up the remnant, Father, and that you see to it that they are the ones that rise higher and higher as our enemies are brought down lower and lower. We pray that you see to it that they have plenty, Father. Let their cup overflow with blessings from your throne as we come to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and we're grateful to be able to do so. We ask that you continue to grant us healings and victories, Father, in all the different fronts that we're fighting. We pray that you continue to open our eyes, see the things that we need to be seeing, that you open our ears so that we can hear the things that we need to hear. We pray that you give us that understanding to discern it, and that you just continue to draw us deeper into your word and to your truths, Father. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. And, well, two-thirds of the way through September. Lots going on in the world. If you look in the headlines, somebody jumped the fence at the White House yesterday, made it all the way inside the front, across the lawn and inside the front doors.
Before what?
Before they caught him.
Oh, they didn't shoot him?
I don't think they did. And but boy,
not surprising.
That was in the headlines this morning. And but I don't know if it was an Al-Qaeda or not. Just hadn't heard that.
Maybe a snipe.
Yeah, who knows? But, that's sure in the headlines in the news this morning. And I noticed in yesterday's headlines that Australia's in an uproar. They've had an ISIS scare, apparently. The ISIS people, you know, see, it used to be Al-Qaeda. That was a bad guy. Now it's ISIS. And they unhatched a terrorist plot. ISIS is going to come against Australian officials. So they're running around all in a hubble of blue or whatever you call it. And I just thought it's interesting. You have these terror incidents. You know, 13 years after we started the war on terror. You know, how many tens of thousands of our soldiers have been sacrificed in the war on terror? And the terror still exists overseas as well as here. Just think it's a good talking point that the Remnant can use to maybe with those out there that don't know they're the Remnant yet, you know, just to help open the blinded eyes to the situation that's out there.
Yeah.
Not everything you get from the government is just so. Most of what you get. So, anyway. And then, if you got somebody that maybe will agree with you on that, that makes sense. We've had the war on terror for 13 years, and we've got more terror now. You mean he might be lying to me and this and that? If you can get them to the protocols, if you can get them to the protocols book, the Protocols of Zion, it tells in there of the perpetual war that our enemies, and it really doesn't matter. You know, people say, oh, well, that book's a hoax. And this, well, what they say in there is coming true. And you call it a hoax or not, but the book that we have, the book we carry, the Protocols of Zion, page 295, part of number 7 says, we shall force the Christians into wars by exploiting their pride and their stupidity. They will massacre each other and clear the ground for us to put our own people into. And by golly, if that hadn't just happened, you know, wars, exploiting their pride and their stupidity. Yeah, we're over there making the world safer, democracy. You know, as the people will willingly send their sons and daughters, and husbands willingly go to do that. Oh well, that was my lead in this morning, just to get things going. Time to drink a little coffee. And Kyle, did you notice any headlines this week, or anything on your mind you want to share with the people?
I didn't watch anything but the weather this week.
Well, how's our weather look?
I got no weather. Is good.
Weather's
great.
Don't
get much better falls than what we're getting right now. But I'll tell you, this morning at 5:30, it was still pitch black out.
It was.
You know, it didn't used to be that. You know, it wasn't very long ago when it wasn't. You know, it was like 5:30, and it felt like 6:30. But beautiful falls, beautiful weather. I know they're getting a lot of rain down in the southern states coming in from that storm that hit Mexico. Cabo or whatever, where it was wiped out a bunch of buildings and stuff. And I think they're even getting the wetness from that in Texas now. But it's been quite a downpour. A lot of flooding in Arizona and all down there. And
the Northwest is still burning up.
Yeah, the Northwest is burning up, 90s, and fires everywhere. Just, you know, you want to say that that's abnormal, but it is abnormal, but it's been that way for quite a few years now.
Right.
And it's just signs of the times. Yep. We're living in.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Jason, I did not get to tune in to your program last night or the Solutions Men. Of course, as you know, trying to get the haying wrapped up here at the ranch. It's been normally August is hay month, and we started in August, but it's September and we're still haying. Several reasons. One, we have an abundant hay crop. We sure praise the Lord for that and thank Him for that. And had lots of rain but just had some delays through hay season. It's just how it goes. Was on the tractor till dark last night. But why don't you give us a quick summary? How'd the programs go last night?
Yeah, it went fine. You know, nothing new exciting. One thing I've been thinking about is, you know, we just had that 91st day, and I don't know how many people out there kept the 91st day, but it was a good time. It was much needed here, and was able to take that time off, and you know, just it's interesting how sometimes the Lord works. It's I ended up reading Kings over the 91st day, and was just felt like I was led there, and you know, reading about the rise and the fall of, you know, king after king. You know, it's interesting because, well, it's just, I mean, we're seeing so much of that right now. And we see that in you know, not only, but in people's lives as well, is, you know, just that up and down, up and down. And really, really enjoyed just reading the book of Kings. Just so much good information there. I don't know. It was a real blessing to me to be able to take that and just have the time to be able to sit down and relax and have the time to read the Word of God, and I hope people out there did that. I don't know how many people did, but you know, sometimes when we have that time, and sometimes we don't have it, and it just seems like with as busy as people have been lately, it seems like everything's just increased, and people don't have the time for the things that they'd like to do, and so I don't know. It was a really good time.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit at Sunday school. Of course, Jason doesn't get to hear Sunday school. He's back in the tech room at the church. But we talked about the Sabbaths, the 91st Sabbath and the regular Sabbaths, and how those are gifts to us from God. And when you look at it like that, if your father in the flesh gives you a gift, or your father in heaven gives you a gift like that, don't disregard it as nothing.
Amen.
That's horrible. I mean, I've been a father, you know, and I've given my children gifts, and if they look at those gifts as nothing, as something just to be thrown away and maybe roll their eyes at, or that's not a good way to honor your father. And, you know, let alone in the flesh, I'm talking your father in heaven. You know, you need to honor him. He gave you these gifts, you know, and I know there was years I didn't keep the gift of the Sabbath day, you know, before I even knew about the 91st day, but I thought it didn't matter, you know, and I'd go to work, and I would think that I had to be at work, I had to get this done, and I would find out that I would get more done if I didn't go to work, because I'd have equipment breakdown, or all of a sudden, you know, I would have stuff in my paint that I could, you know, like I would strain it like normal and thin it like normal, and all of a sudden, you know, you get something sprayed and it's just not right.
Things weren't working right.
And it was obvious what was happening after a while, and maybe after my wife might mention it. Oh, this was a Sabbath day. I mean, and that sometimes that's all it takes, you know. And I'm telling you, don't disregard something that God said. You know, the Sabbath is made for man, and I believe these 91st Sabbaths were also made for man. For us, you know, like Jason was saying, what a great opportunity it was for him to get, you know, read, get closer to God, and get some rest, get some strength, get some hope from what he was reading. You know, and we talked about the 91st Psalms, and regard those gifts that God has given us as something special.
Yeah. You know? They are. It's because he loves us and he wants us to prosper, not only financially, but physically. And just like Jason said, you know, a lot of people don't have time to do the things they want to do. And I think that, you know, it's because so many people are having to take the time to do the things that they think they have to do. You know, we all have to gather more straw and make more bricks. You know, whether you're working for a big company out there or here at the ministry, you know, there's more to do than we get done. It's always that way, I think, in our society today. But God does. He gives us these gifts, this time. And time is a valuable resource that he gives us that we are to spend wisely.
You know, and I've even made fun of, you know, and we probably all have the time change, this daylight saving time. But however this was set up or by whom, it does give us another hour till the sun's straight up, till the next day starts. You know, so it's like last week, I think I bolted out of here at about 10 to 1 or something. You know, and if you count the coffee show, you know, hey, I already got 7 hours in. You know what I mean? But yet, I had time to stop when the sun got straight up for the Sabbath day that I was going to keep.
Yeah.
I mean, so I mean, it's not like we can't get stuff done this morning. You know what I mean?
Right.
But honor what he gives you.
Amen. Well, we'll open the phone lines up this morning just a little bit into the program, but sometimes it's about 10 minutes before the program's over, all the lines start lighting up. So.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. But we'll open up the phone lines this morning, 307-745-5913, if you want to call in, if you have a comment, or if you have a question or something. And, you know, as far as that Sabbath, for the most part, we do our best to take a Sabbath Saturday, starting at noon or 1 o'clock in daylight savings time, till Sunday at that same time. That's our plan. That's our desire. That's what we try to do. And then we gather with the saints on Sunday morning on our calendar. That's the first day of the week. We gather together. And and that works. And that's something that I think we should be paying attention to. When we are led to do something, when we see something from the Bible, or we're taught, and we do it and we try it, kind of like you were talking, Kyle, about trying to work on the Sabbath, and it just doesn't work. But when you do learn maybe a biblical truth or a biblical principle, and you apply it, and it does work for 30 plus years, well then, you know, maybe that's right and proper. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And we're all convicted on certain things. You know, and we found out, and I know you've been here a lot longer than I have, you find out there that there's certain people out there that are convicted on certain things. And that's great. I would never try to convince somebody they're not convicted by God. But we're all not convicted on the same things. I remember the caller, you know, sometime this year. It was months ago though, but you know, he brought out the point. Well, if you want to know what the true Sabbath day, you know, if the Passover is the 14th day after the new year, well, then every 7 days, and that's true. There's absolutely no way to argue that, you know, and really a guy shouldn't want to argue that.
Yep.
But then that leads you to a different Sabbath day, what we call a day. Every year is different. 1 year it'll be on a Tuesday, 1 year it'll be on a Monday, 1 year, you know, and it would be very difficult for a man to keep that, you know. So like you said, I got convicted that it's Saturday from noon till Sunday at noon because I know what was happening to me when I wasn't taken. That helped convict me. Yeah. You know, somebody else, it might be something else. And I think Jason brought out the point a few weeks back about, what about working 6 days? You know, that's part of the same commandment. You know, a man is to work 6 days. Well, this gives us that opportunity. No, we don't usually come out and go to work Sunday evening, but we do still work that next morning on that day, you know.
Yeah.
So we still do get the 6 days in, you know, and so that helps us fulfill the whole commandment. You know, I mean, not saying that's how everybody has to do it. I'm just saying that's how we do it, you know. And that makes it applicable.
Yes. Yes. And we are to work. You don't work, you don't eat. Oh, that our welfare system would understand that principle. Well, beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch, 307-745-5913. And just got a text in. Maybe you heard my crickets.
I did.
I don't think I had it muted this morning. My apologies for that. Got a text from my sister. It says, good morning, brother. I just poured myself a cup of coffee, sharing with the Wranglers here at the Oakley Ranch, Central Florida. So, well, good morning, family down there in Central Florida. And thank you all for tuning in and joining us. And it is a beautiful day out here. Hopefully going to have a little family visit, maybe the middle of October. And come out and
maybe
and
we'll
see
get
us.
Some venison, too.
Maybe. That's about venison season. So, have had a couple teenagers out this last couple weeks helping us out with hay in a little bit and among other things, and so that's been a busy time here. My apologies, I had to have a replay Thursday night. We were working on equipment and been out pretty hard in the hay fields trying to you know, I'd always heard growing up you got to make hay when the sun shines. You know, that's one of our Americana, would you say, sayings, you know, make hay when the sun shines. I don't remember ever hearing that from France or even England or something, maybe England. But and of course it has its basis, I think, in Proverbs, talking about working and, you know, a little sleep will do you. And, you know, that you like old Ben Franklin saying, you know, or I think it was from him, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. And of course that's right from the Proverbs, you know, that of the things we are to do. But boy, the physical application of that, I think we've really seen this year, because we've had an overabundance of rain. Not that that's bad, it's just how it is. Now when you got the hay equipment and you got hay down and you're ready to go bale hay and you really don't want it to get rained on and it starts raining, at that point in time, you don't think the rain is good. You know, oh no, what are we doing? You know, why, God? But you know, now it's still green out here in the middle of September. And we've needed that rain. And, you know, just a small example that, you know, God knows what he's doing. He really does. He always does. And Romans 8:28 is there. Let's just turn over there. We haven't really read a scripture this morning. Why don't we do that? I think I can find Romans. Acts. Oh, then Romans, right? Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And says all things. It's just a good thing for us to remember. And you know, if you bounce up ahead of that and read verse 26 and 27, it kind of leads right into it. Starting in verse 26 says, in the same way, So if you want to know about that same way, you have to read a little earlier in Romans 8. So we'll just leave that with you, Remnant, to maybe read that this morning. But it says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. And you know, there's times that we don't. But if we recognize that, like what the Word says, then, you know, we recognize what comes next. It says, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And then it goes on and says, we know God causes all things to work together. And so, you know, it's an encouragement to me. To know that hey, sometimes I don't always know what to say. I don't always know what to pray. But if I'll do my best to seek the kingdom first, and then the Holy Spirit's there to intercede, to guide and direct, to remind, so to speak.
Yeah. It's a good verse.
I think most of them are.
Especially those ones ahead of it that Richard said, go back and read. They are very important. It talks about the hope.
It does. You
know. But, and, you know, some people try to use that 8:28 on those that aren't been called and those that aren't been chosen. And it don't work for them. You have to be what it calls there in Romans 8, an adopted son, you know. You have to be grafted in. You have to be part of the vine for that to apply to you. You know, so don't go around throwing Romans 8:28 to everybody that's out there, because it don't work for them.
Exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't apply to everybody. Well, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913, and. There's that sunshine coming in the window. That's really a good thing. Reading that 91st Psalms, we did that Wednesday night on the Wednesday night prayer meeting. I encourage you, if you're not very familiar with that psalm, to go back and read it. It is a warrior's psalm. And we're at war right now. We are absolutely at war. The world is at war with Christianity. There's no other way to look at it. This nation was founded on Christian principles, on a Christian ethic. Nothing came before that. There was no adjective to describe that Christian ethic. The ethic being described and the standard and the basis for this USA being formed, this New Jerusalem, was a Christian ethic. It was to further the kingdom of Christ. So says, I think, what is it, the Mayflower Compact? The very first document, the very first agreement that the Christians made when they came to this country and settled it. And the ethic, the adjective to describe the ethic they used was Christian, not Judeo-Christian. You know, the Judeo part denies Christ, and our enemy has snuck in and inserted that term and put themselves ahead of Christ, ahead of the Christian ethic. And so, you know, since then, in our day and age, we are at war, and we need to know the warrior psalms. We need to have that full armor that you heard Jason pray on this morning. Hopefully you've prayed it on as well. And I tell you, husbands and fathers, pray it on you, pray it on your wife, pray it on your children, pray it on if you got son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws and grandchildren, pray it on them. Add those layers of covering. You know, when it starts getting cold out here, we start putting on more layers, right, for protection from the cold. Well, that's what we're to do as Christian men, as Christian fathers, as Christian husbands, is to add those layers of protection to those that we are responsible for, to God. Well, there's the phone line ringing. Let's go over to it. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Been pondering the rejection of the Scottish people with regards to their breakaway from England. And it occurred to me, listening to the pundits on talk radio and such, that they never go into very much the fact that Scotland is basically full of Scots. I've got some statistics here very shortly. I'd read it. As of the 2011 census, there's 83.95% native Scots, other British, 7.8%, Irish, 1.02%, Gypsy travelers, 0.08%, white Polish, 1.16%, other, 1.93%, total of about 96% white. And others, various races here, total in the, they're way down there. And this is according to the Wikipedia website. So you can take that for what it's worth. But, and add to that, the very important fact that Scotland is full of natural resources. They've got North Sea oil. Probably much of that is actually, if they were to gain independence, much of that would fall to them. As far as religion goes, I don't know, it says other Christian, 5.5%. But they got a Church of Scotland, they got Roman Catholic, other Christian, and they've got a large segment of the nation that has no religion, 36.7%. But anyway, they would do very well if they were a standalone country. It's too bad that they would probably revert to the European Union. So,
And join as an independent nation versus being part of the UK.
Yeah. But the surprising fact of there being, high, very high percentage of their population is still very white. You know.
Hey, interesting point.
Food for thought. It makes you wonder why did they resoundingly reject partition? You know. They've got no national spirit, like Prester Jones talked about, you know. They've been under the skirts of the Queen for too long. They probably like it there. Anyway,
hey,
have a good Saturday, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you. God bless.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
It is interesting. That European Union is not has not worked out as smoothly and... at least it seems like to our way of thinking. Maybe it's done just right to their way of thinking. Maybe it's done exactly what they wanted it to do. I know when Greece came into it just a few years ago, there was some major financial turmoil. 307-745-5913 is the number this morning. Got a scripture for us there, Kyle?
No, I'm still in Romans 8 over here. There's lots of scripture.
That's not a bad place to be.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about the apostle. Well, I was listening to a message on the way out here this morning about the apostle Paul and how long it was. And his, you know, I think he stayed in one place for 3 years after he was converted. You know what I mean? It wasn't like he hit the deck of running. I mean, even though he did, as far as he immediately had gifts of the Spirit, you know. But even he had to spend time because he had probably had a lot of deprogramming he had to do from being Saul of Tarsus to the Apostle Paul. And even though we can read the book of Acts and then go into the other books that he wrote and stuff, there was a period of time there that he took to learn. And I'm sure, you know, it wasn't like he had one of these. This hadn't been compiled yet.
Right.
You know, now he was already well into and knew a lot about the Mosaic Law, mm-hmm. you know, obviously. But he had to learn other things. He had to learn about the law of Christ, and he had to learn about, you know, what he eventually taught to the Galatians and to the Corinthians and to the Romans and to a young man named Timothy. You know, I mean, he had to learn those things, and it took years. You know, I mean, and he had that because after, you know, he went to Ananias, and you know he had that power already. But yet he still had to do things, you know. And it was just on my mind that, man, you think you can just hit the deck running, you know, like the old Johnny Horton song. But you know, sometimes you just gotta be patient and endure, and you know, be long suffering, and it'll come, you know.
Yeah. Amen. And Romans talks about that. Maybe we'll get to that here in a second. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, sirs. I don't know if the signal is coming in good today. I'm getting every other word from you guys, but what you said just a moment ago about Scotland joining the European Union, you said about Greece joining the European Union. It just occurred to me that, you know, it seems like whenever a country goes and joins the EU, the first thing that happens is the EU gets together and bails them out and pays off all their bills, and of course it wrecks their economy too. But you know, just maybe the United States should join the EU and let them bail us out, because our economy is wrecked anyway, so it couldn't be much worse.
Good point. I think they have the NAU in store for us over here. Is what I've heard, the North American Union, drop the borders, because that's basically what they've done over in the European nations, is my understanding, and I think that's what they have planned here.
Right. I was saying that just mostly tongue in cheek, but it, you know, I mean, good Lord, the way we're going right now. But anyway, something else I wanted to tell you. You know, you were mentioning earlier about the Sabbath. And I was raised as a Sabbath keeper. Even though I don't believe that the Seventh-day Adventists are exactly on the right track. There's little things I wish they would change. But anyway, being raised as a Sabbath keeper, this morning I woke up all fired up and everything, and I was thinking about that. You know, the gun show is over in Montgomery, Alabama. I'm in Selma myself. And the gun show in Montgomery, and I was just all fired up wanting to go over there and see what the latest toys were. And then, you know, you guys get to mention about the Sabbath, and now all of a sudden I'm feeling convicted. So, well, I'm probably not going to go. But then again, I can go tomorrow morning, so it won't be a total loss.
Hey, all right. Go with your convictions.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. All right, well, you folks have a good one. Take care, and a good show.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I do want to say, though, we didn't tell him he couldn't go to a gun show today. That's his own conviction.
No. And, you know, hey, Jason, I don't know if I told you, I think there's a gun show in Laramie today.
It started yesterday. Huh?
Yeah, it started yesterday. We saw the little, at the fairground, saw the sign up.
Oh, yeah.
Let's stay with the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's Anthony from New Jersey. How are you today?
Good morning. From Alabama to New Jersey.
We're all over the place.
Amen.
The remnant is scattered throughout this land.
That's true.
So I'm having a cup of coffee with you guys, and I wanted to just ask, we'll bring up a couple things. So I read an article, or I saw a news thing where they're having a satanic mass in Oklahoma tomorrow in one of the federal, or one of the buildings out there. And I watched a video on the a sky view of the building that they're going to be holding this mass in, and it looks like from the air, the architecture of how they laid out the city there, a womb of a woman. And where they're having the mass, has like a almost like a symbol of a baby, of a fetus, and like by the mouth of the end part where they're having the mass is almost like the birth of a, you know, maybe like Satan, the birth of Satan coming out of the womb. It's creepy. It was really creepy. It was Crusader, I think the guy's Crusader 2127. It's his, he's a Christian guy, and he puts up videos like current events and things going on, you know, all biblically, you know, based and things like that. But in one of his videos, he showed that. It was really it was crazy to think, like, oh, is that the Antichrist being born? Are they ushering him in that way? And I don't know. It creeped me out, you know, because there's real stuff going on, and Satan is coming at us hardcore right now. He, you know, they had that statue that they took down in that one town. I think it was in Canada, of Satan in there. I mean, they took it down. It was like, it was where Christopher Columbus, I don't know if it was in Canada, I forget the town, but, yeah. Man, I'm telling you, the signs are all over the place, and we are at big time war on Christianity. I mean, he's coming at us at every angle. You know, it really further resolves our faith, you know, further, you know, convicts us that, you know, Christ is our, you know, he's our Savior, you know, that we need him.
And he's our fortress and our strong tower and our rock and our refuge. And in these days that these happen. And the days are going to get worse. They're going to get a lot worse for them, because the days are coming where 1,000 fall right over here on our left hand and 10,000 fall over here on our right. And if we stand on that rock and we are under his wings and abide in him, we just see it with our eyes. We will see it. Bad days, you know, there's a bad moon rising, as the old CCR song says, and it's for them. It's not for us. We have to remember that. It's for them. And these are signs. They're trying, they might be trying to rebirth Satan and all, and they put their statues up, and it's their last-ditch effort. It truly is. Good point. And it gives us something to pray about. And I encourage we all encourage the saints, pray against that. Pray for protection as you do pray for your family. Pray against these satanic events that are becoming too commonplace in this nation.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to have the full armor of God on. And that's why. Because of these things that are happening, we're not caught off guard, you know, unprepared for it. We're not, you know, susceptible to their attack. But there's a question on the Sabbath day. I'm talking about Sabbath day, and in the Bible, you know, there's always like a thing between. And I'm sure Pastor Peters went over this, and maybe I missed some of his, his sermons, but. Sabbath day being when Christ was crucified and they put him in the tomb, they had to put him in before the Sabbath, right? And the Sabbath was, this was Friday, wasn't it? And how, you know, Saturday was the day of the Sabbath, so they came to the tomb the next day at sunrise on Sunday. After the Sabbath, wasn't it? Is that the case or no?
There's some discrepancies there, and I think it's for a good reason. And I've read some writings where, oh no, there's no discrepancies about it, and this is the fact of the matter. It's this day was this and this. It's not that cut and dried. It can be confusing, and like I said, We don't condemn one another all the time for not taking it on the right day, which some do, but I wish they wouldn't. But I don't think it's as cut and dried and as clear. I mean, they were taking the Passover meal, you know, before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, and he was the Passover lamb that was killed on Passover. I mean, so there's some discrepancies in there on days.
Right.
And,
And there's also some discrepancies in trying to match, and I think that's what the false church has done, is to try to line up what they call Easter or Resurrection Sunday or whatever with that, with our to line it up with our calendar, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, today.
I and, really think that this is where you apply the spirit of the law and the law of faith and not so much on the letter, because it's not that easy to understand. You know what I mean? I mean, if you line up all the Gospels and all everything that's said, it's hard to line them up.
And
come with this Friday Saturday, you know what I mean?
It's
hard to line them up. Anyway.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, just wondering what you guys thought about that. I didn't, I've heard a few different, outlooks. So, all right. Well,
Anthony, thanks for the call. Have a great weekend.
You got it, guys. You too, guys. Take care. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And we've had a caller patiently waiting. Caller, thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, men. Tom in Texas.
Hey, Tom, let me pour you a cup here. You sat there waiting patiently while we talked with Anthony from New Jersey. And hope you enjoyed
that. That was a very interesting call.
Yeah.
I mean, hearing that, it just made me think, well, and like you said, that the bad moon's going to rise on them. Revelation 12:12, Satan's time is short. And how about this, taking this one for looking at where they're holding the little mass there and their separation of church and state? It's kind of like the freedom of religion, freedom of Christianity, or state versus Christianity as business, their so-called separation aspect. It looks to me like it's the red dragon standing before the woman who would be ready, who was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. I'd say the Antichrist is already alive and well, one of which is occupying the highest office of this land, let alone that little mug little man over in the Vatican.
Yes, yes. People don't realize that either, that the Bible describes the Antichrist. Oh, Hollywood has described it.
John describes it quite well.
Yeah, yeah, Hollywood has described it. But, you know, are you going to take something biblical and believe Hollywood? Or are you going to believe the Bible?
I'd say that if he can't, they better stop and realize if that's their purpose in doing that up there, they better stop and look who's occupying the highest office of this land and what he represents and why they're able to even do that. Because at other times in this country's history, there'd have been some strange acorns hanging from oak trees.
Yeah.
Regards to the Scottish independence thing, there's a few videos on YouTube to show if they're counting ballots. I mean, I don't know if they can count on their fingers the way they're counting the ballots.
Yeah.
You know, for the yeses and noes, and I mean that's shady. I've kind of thought that this is especially since I say Revelation is pre-written U.S. national history. How about the progression of empires from the seven heads? From Egypt on down, that the seventh head is actually Britain. The European Union is totally Rothschild-controlled Europe. Never all these wars are set up Rothschild-controlled economic systems, just like China is Rothschild communist. All of those countries are controlled by that, and the Rothschilds are centered in Britain. A fatal wound given to them again in the War of 1812 and the American Revolution. Only they beat Napoleon, but couldn't beat the poor little peasantry colonist over here. You know, it took a David to take down a Goliath, not another Goliath.
Good point. Good point. Tom, thanks for calling in. We'll try to get this other caller on.
Thank you, boy.
Thank you.
God bless.
And we'll go to the phone line. Sorry about that. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, man. This is David Neal in Northeast Oklahoma.
Good morning, David in Oklahoma.
Good to hear you this morning. I've been reading a lot out of Joshua lately, chapter 1, verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And then on over in verse 14, when they were getting ready to go over the Jordan, the men were expected to be mighty men of valor and armed. And I just expect Christian men to be men.
Amen.
And yeah, amen.
We've been invited to this little church near us that the men are not, you know, they get worried about these contrived enemies we hear about in the news. And I said, just be men, you know, be armed if you need to be. And I just about get kicked out of that Sunday school every Sunday. But anyway.
You know, when you share scriptures like that, David, I mean, you know, be strong and courageous. But is that okay with my wife? But if
doesn't
I'm strong,
matter.
But if I'm strong and courageous, what will the so and so think? And you know, I'm sure that's the kind of stuff that you get. You're right. The Bible tells us that's like the people. You know, we carry a book called War Psalms or the Prince of Peace, and it summarizes the war psalms from David. From King David, who was a type of Christ, who was a foreshadowing, who was a man, yes. But and the author really does a good job of saying, yes, we are to love our enemies, we are to forgive, but we're to pray these psalms as David did. Today we are to do that.
Absolutely.
And you know, that's very foreign to many of, like you said, David, these little churches. In Oklahoma and in Texas and in New Jersey and in Florida and in Colorado and everywhere else. It's very foreign because it is the Word of God. It is truth, just as much as John 3:16 is.
Yes, we men need to be... Well, I work at Walmart, and I see these men prance through there, and they think they're being men with their tattoos and their Harley Davidson clothing and... Not that there's anything wrong with Harley Davidson, but I mean their god is
prancing self.
Around.
Their god is self, and they do what pleases their god, self.
And I just want to encourage Christian men to be strong Christian men this morning, and we have nothing to fear. Our Heavenly
Amen.
Father is on our side, and I appreciate you, men. Thank you so much for being on shortwave. You've been a blessing to me and my family. And thank you.
Thank you, David. God bless. Thanks for the call this morning.
God bless you, Richard.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good call.
Amen.
You know, I laugh because you brought up the war psalms. You know, you get these churches out there, these New Testament churches only. I mean, they never go into what he was saying he was reading in Joshua, you know. They don't go there because a lot of their Bibles don't even have it, for one, you know.
Yeah.
But
They have the New Testament.
But the funny thing about it is New Testament comes with Psalms. You know what I mean? So it is there even for them to read the war Psalms.
Tell
I
me
mean,
God doesn't have a sense of humor.
I think Proverbs and Psalms are usually in them. But, he's right. You have this philosophy out there that you can't be a man and a Christian at the same time, which is hogwash. You know what I mean?
It is.
Jesus Christ was a man, you know, and the disciples, Peter, Paul, and everybody else that you can read their writings of, they were men, you know, and that's why they spoke the way they spoke. They didn't speak where everybody was going to like them, you know. In fact, Christ said, "Woe unto the man when everybody likes you."
Yeah.
Because when you're a Christian man, you're going to say things that some people just ain't going to like, you know, and that's what this, you know, David here was saying that, you know, he's getting when he goes to those churches and Sunday schools or whatever he's going to, and they don't like what he's saying because he's saying some truth, and people don't like the truth. They only like the truth if it tickles their ears, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, like you mentioned about Saul of Tarsus, when he found out truth, when he was blinded by Christ, because he had been blinded by the lies before that. But when he found truth, he embraced it.
Well, yeah, and he wasn't given an opportunity not.
Right.
You know, I mean, since he was blinded with his eyes open. Boy, doesn't that fit many today.
And that's how it is today. But then, you know, you mentioned that he went and took time to search out that truth. You know, And truth is truth, whether you like it or not. Whether it's not very politically correct today, because the political and the church outlook today are the lies. Like you said, the lies that people want to hear. Well, if you want to hear some more truth, we're about out of time today, but if you want to hear some more truth, come back tomorrow. A little bit later. You can sleep in if you're on the East Coast. You can sleep in out here a little bit, I guess. We don't get to sleep in much, but that's okay. But we invite you to church tomorrow. 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast at scripturesforamerica.org. You join us at 10 a.m. We'll have hopefully a scriptural review of the news, talk about some of the news stories that are going on. We'll have a welcome. John's traveling right now. Jason, are you going to do the welcome tomorrow?
Yes.
All right. So you get to see Jason. He'll come up and give you a little welcome and have a good introduction to the services tomorrow. And we'll have some good music and some praise and worship music. Kyle, I think you're up for communion tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Is that right? So, and then we'll have a truth-filled message, a biblically truth-filled message. And it will not be politically correct. I can guarantee you that. Okay? It won't be. And it will probably offend. Now, I don't know what message is coming tomorrow, but it'll be a message full of truth. And it'll be based on the Bible. And there'll be more scriptures in tomorrow's message than you've probably read in the last 6 months, if you're not reading your Bible all the time. But it'll be full of truth. And again, it'll be politically incorrect, and it'll probably offend if you're not abiding in Christ. So come and see. You can watch it right there in your living room, wherever you have your computer. Almost everybody's got a computer these days. If you don't, you can listen to it right here on the same frequency. If you're listening on shortwave, if you have your phone, you can call 832-999-1729 and listen to the broadcast. And as you've heard here, faith comes by hearing. So we hope you do that. Well, guys, thanks for joining us. I'm going to go out with another song. I was thinking about what some of we were talking earlier kind of about Bad Moon Rising. Don't know if we'll really go out with that one. But we do have a song, I think, that applies a little bit better. There's a great day coming, because there is a great day coming when he returns. But it's also going to be a sad day for some. Thanks for joining us. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. See you in church tomorrow.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment?
Are you ready for the judge?
Rolling, 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 stay high.
This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hell send forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.